live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Well, isn't God so good to us? I must say, you guys look wonderful. You look great. Look like blessed people. Amen? I know you are. Chris is in the back saying, yeah. You know, and let me just tell you, and I tell you this every time, when I'm asked to speak, I listen and say, God, what's current? What is it that you have for me now? Because really, I have hundreds of sermons I could go back to that I've spoken before. And I could go back, and sometimes it's okay to do that. I mean, I don't think you have to always create something new. It's all there. And so sometimes I can go back to sermons I've done before, and I say, God, show me which ones you want. And then there's other times that he just gives me a clean canvas and says, this is what I want you to speak. And that's what today is. And so I actually wrote this from a blank page, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to do what you have for me to do. But while I was asking him, God, what do you want us to deal with? He said, son, look around. Look at everything that's going on. You're hearing craziness break loose left and right. And I want you to remind the church of the things I have for them. I want you to remind the church of a place that they must go that would help them from being one more news article, one more story about someone who's lost their mind, okay? And I said, okay, well, how do we do this? What is it that you want me to deal with? He said, talk about the altar. And he gave me this song. He reminded me of this song, Lord, I Build an Altar. And so that's what we're going to focus on, because I believe, regardless of what situation you're in right now, either if you're affected by your environment directly or indirectly, meaning maybe through a peripheral relationship, a family member, someone at school or someone at work, we're all in it. I mean, I could go down and list the different issues that we're dealing with, but at the core of it all still comes down to us being at the altar and having God do a mighty work at the altar with us. Amen? So the thing is, though, sometimes we sing beautiful songs like that, and that's why he had us start out with this, because it's a beautiful song. Lord, I build an altar. I feel good even singing it. And there I lay my will. He says, son, I wonder if we really understand when you say, I build an altar, and there I lay myself as a sacrifice. Do you really want to do this? And he started speaking to me about what it really means to be a sacrifice on the altar. And to go through that whole process, because sometimes we say it lightheartedly, but when we're speaking to God, we need to be very careful. And I will tell you, I've learned to be very careful in many different aspects of when I'm speaking or when I'm sharing and when I'm speaking to God or if I'm speaking to you. Because believe it or not, I'm serious, I've learned these little tricks I do to help me win. And I call these little triggers that I set or little flags that I set that remind me. Like one this morning I told the kids, what do I always say? Ivy and the kids, I said, what do I always say? Sunday morning, right? You're going to have a greater influence to fight. You're going to have a greater desire to argue, to be offended, because it's Sunday morning and we're trying to get to church. So set your mind right now. Give more grace to your sister. Give more grace to your brother. I'm going to give more grace to mommy so we don't end up fighting about who didn't lock a door or who didn't put the comb away or who didn't replace the toilet paper. And so I have these different things that trigger me like that. The same as if I'm speaking to someone and counseling someone in marriage. Right on the front end of that, I'm already aware when I try to help someone in their marriage, the enemy is going to come at me like nobody's business. Sure enough, I could just have helped somebody out in their marriage. And next thing you know, Ivy and I start developing the same thing I just talked about. And I'm like, what in the world? When I was younger, I didn't remember that. But I've learned there's certain things I've got to set up. And so I'm real cautious when I'm doing things to say, what are you really saying? And so when I say, Lord, I build an altar, or Lord, teach me patience, or Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. All of those things are trigger words for me. And he says, be careful. Son, you hear what you just said? Whatever I want you to, are you serious? Because you know you did get your degree over here, right? Spent a lot of money over here, right? I'm getting ahead of myself. But then what he'll do is sometimes you don't know. Maybe his plans weren't what you started out on, but you've already invested a lot of time and money in that thing. And you just said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Lord, I'm your servant. Here I am, send me. He's like, really? Oh, all right. Cool. A lot of things take place on the altar, but let's deal with what the altar is. I was looking at one spot in the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary on Biblical Theology describes the altar as a structure on which, and of course, understand there's all kinds of different definitions from different perspectives. This is just some that I brought out. A structure on which offerings are made to deity. The Hebrew word for the altar is mizbah. M-I-Z-B-E-A-H. And it's from the verbal root meaning is to slaughter. Lord, I build an altar. And when I sing that song, I don't see blood. I don't see myself being laid open. You know, but really, when we're saying that word, we're talking about, now, and understand, we're talking about the literal meaning of that, and there's some things we're going to talk about because there's different ways to go through that act of building an altar. So I'm not actually talking about building a physical altar, even though it could be that. But the point is that it's not always so easy doing the thing that you say. It's easier to do the thing you say, but it's harder to actually go through and do the work. Okay? So the structure of the structure in the Bible could have been made of stone, earth, metal, or brick. And we've seen various altars. All you got to do is, you know, look it throughout the Bible and you'll see scripture that talks about different types of altars that were erected. Some of which was, you know, if it was a stone, a natural stone, you weren't supposed to put your hand to it to cut it or anything. You weren't supposed to hewn it out, as it say. There's other spots where they took brick. And there's other spots where it was overlaid with metal. You know, there's just different things there. But today I want to focus on earth. This is how God had me think of it today. Our altar is earth. Okay? So, do like this. That's earth. We want to create and build an altar to the Lord, and it's us. It's in our hearts. Amen? So, I want you to turn over to, and understand, I'm going to give you about four or five things you must be willing to do in this whole process. Okay? Because understand, when we, I had talked about the slaughter and sacrificing animals as they used to do. He's not asking for any of that. We're under a new dispensation. We're under grace. Jesus already was the sacrifice for us. But we still do have things to sacrifice. And we're going to identify those things. And it's not easy. Might be easy to sing, but there's some decisions that have to be made. Now, I will tell you, and I didn't do it, but there was a video I really wanted to show you guys today to talk about sacrifice, but it has so much foul language in it, I couldn't use it. It was an argument, a road rage situation that I saw on Facebook, but it turned out peaceful, but people had to work through some things, and in there were so many areas where God showed me literal sacrifices in the real, in our world, okay? Because a lot of times we think of sacrifice, oh, I'm going to the altar, I'm cutting up an animal, or I'm pouring out a drink offering or whatever. But God is showing me areas that we have to put into our life to show times that we've built an altar to be a sacrifice. And it looks very different than when we're looking through the Bible and reading those stories. So anyway, I chose not to put that up there because I knew you guys would chase me out of the church. Because it would have been some foul language up there. But one thing we do is when we come to the altar is we have a transaction between God and man. There is a transaction that will take place between God and man. And it's an opportunity for us to surrender who we are, some of the things we hold on to, and let God have his way. So the first thing we must do, and I'll have you turn to a scripture here in a moment, is we must be willing to build in various environments. You must be willing to build in various environments. So understand, all of us, we have different things that we're dealing with. Some of you, it's funny, some of us, we're living life and it's great. But the person next to you, they're going through heck. I will tell you, this morning as we were getting ready, I got a text from somebody who told me, please pray for me. I feel like I'm in hell. That's what this person texted me. Right, 9 minutes before service. And I'm trying to encourage this person through texting real quick. And, you just don't know what condition you are in sometimes when you still have to do the right thing. So you've got to be willing to build an altar in various environments. That could be locations. It could be different situations. I want you to turn to Genesis 12. If I could get there myself, that would be groovy. Genesis 12, 7 through 9. Say amen when you're there. And I will tell you, this probably is not going to be long. Ivy whispered to me, and I normally don't tell what she says, but she whispered and said, honey, make sure your phone is off, and you've got 30 minutes. I love her. What would I do without her, man? All right, so anyway, if you're there, Genesis 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, he being Abram, in 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. I didn't know we had Bethel mountains around here, but east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still south, toward the south. So listen, other parts of the word said, here God spoke to Abram, this land I've given you. Right? A lot of times when God tells you something, he's telling you what he's doing. He's telling you the perfect plan, But it's not necessarily the manifestation. Just because God says he's given you something, don't think that it's already yours. You know he gave it to you, and that's great, but somebody else is occupying. Somebody else is in that territory that God said, I give to you. So in this situation, Abram, being aware that he's already stepped out from the rest of his family, and he's looking around, and God's saying, hey, I've given you this area. Abram had to pitch his tent, and he built an altar to the Lord. So he did it at one place, right? One side of Bethel. He set up an altar. And then after he was done there, he moved on to the other side and he pitched built another altar. And so the thing is this, what does that mean to us? What was Abram doing? God had given him a sure enough word. But he knew there was some work between God giving him something and him actually taking possession. Amen? If you are thinking just because God told you something that it's a done deal and you can chill and just go about it and it's mine, get your nameplate, put your little, you know, get your cards made up. It doesn't just come like that. You're going to have some encounters with the living God, the one who gave you that vision, the one who spoke that promise over you. You're going to have some silent times with him where you go before him and say, God, I'm erecting something special, a place that is set apart, consecrated, set apart for you and I, so I can meet you, because I know this person you spoke to is not the one who's going to occupy that place. God could tell me right now, Otis, you're going to win that marathon. You're going to win that marathon. I never ran a marathon. I don't know about y'all, but if I run twice here, I'm going to be like this. It's going to be ugly. So imagine God tells me, Otis, you're going to run that marathon and you're going to finish. And I'm like, really? Sweet. God said it's done. I ain't got to do nothing else. Going to keep eating my Whoppers. Get my Big Mac or whatever, you know. But no, Abram here, knowing that God has spoken to him, this land I've given to you and your descendants. And I've got to believe that he knew this thing is bigger than me. This thing is so much bigger than me. Oh, my goodness. I know you said it, God, but I got to get with you because there's some transformation that has to take place. And I've got to be willing to set up an altar wherever you've spoken to me. Amen? So now check it out. That's what Abram did. And if you read other spots, you'll see Abram was going all over the place. And a lot of different places, he would travel, and he'd always be able to build an altar. Amen? So you, in your situation, wherever it is, understand your environment might be totally different. Your altar may be at work. Your altar may be in your car. Your altar definitely should be at home. You should definitely, now there you can have a physical altar, actually. You know? But what God wants us to grab out of this is that the place is not always convenient. It's not easy. Right? When you're knowing that you're called to do a certain thing, and maybe you're having bad relations with your children. Maybe you know things are not just perfect with your spouse. You don't know about your boss. Listen. It always cracks me up. The folks who in one moment can cuss you out like that. Cuss you out like a sailor. Then, all right, God bless you. to everybody. Oh, God, I'll be at church. And then they wonder why people at work are like, that person's saved? They're a Christian. Oh, I didn't know that. But guess what? Imagine if you really wanted to just get into yourself and cuss somebody out at work. You right there better be prepared to get you an altar set up and to slaughter that desire to reach into your flesh and respond. Sometimes we don't think people are watching us. And maybe it's just in this country we're so free. Don't get me wrong. I love this country. I'm part of this country. And I'm probably, I too, I like it easy. It's easy for me to get, I'm telling you, I can watch some shows, and they do a real good job in these shows because they make the villain so bad that you don't want to be Christian. I want to kill the sucker, just to be real. I mean, they build it up that way, because that way when you see the person get what they got coming, you feel better. But that's my flesh. That's my flesh. And so what I've got to do is recognize, like I was telling you, those little flags I set ahead of time, those things, when I feel my skin starting to boil and somebody says something that's still bothering me and it's offensive, I have to say, oh, no. Let's go back to your office, Otis. And this is what I hear. I usually hear this in Ivy's voice. Otis, put you on some praise music. Shut your door. Take a moment. And just get with God. Or sometimes I'll tell her something that's going on. She says, did you pray? And sometimes I get mad when she says that, tell the truth. Did you pray about it? I'm like, no. I was about to lie. Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. No, babe, I didn't pray, but I'll do that. Shut your door. And I'll go on and get in there, and I say, God, help me not respond in my flesh. You know? Now, it's rare for me to get to that place because most of the time she says I'm a duck. Things can just roll off my back. But what I'm trying to tell you is the world is watching you, and even though they act like they don't like Christians and they don't like it that you have certain standards that you go by and things you don't move on and they call you old-fashioned, the truth is they are pleased to see you hold strong. And when they get in a fix, they want to go to that person that I know they are unmovable. They stand on what they believe God said to them. But when they see you falter, and when you cuss somebody out, or they find out that you, there was one person I knew had a workplace relationship. He was married. Had a workplace relationship, divorced his wife. And when I talked to other people who were not Christian, they knew I was, they say, I knew something was funny about that. Talking about him being a Christian. You know, and now they're off the hook. They got that feeling of, I'm off the hook, see? I'm not that bad. I didn't cheat on my wife. We've got to build an altar. And it's not going to be a situation that's always conducive to building an altar. Sometimes you got to plant the ground and set up the ground just right, or maybe you've got to pick up some stones, especially if you were back in the day and had to create an altar. You had to lift that stuff up. You had to prepare the territory. And imagine back then when enemies were all around you and you trying to build an altar in a land God said is yours, but guess what? There's other people occupying that land, and God says build an altar. It's not easy. It's not always conducive for you to do that. Kids out acting a fool. You don't know where one's at. The other's sleeping around. And you're trying to see, how can I bring the children in and say, hey, let's have time with the Lord. Knowing good and well the culture of today, that's old fashioned. I hate to say that, but it is. Oh, you talk to God? You still believe the man is the head of the house? You still act like fornication is wrong? Shouldn't we move in together first? That way we know it's the right fix? No. No. Now, it sounds weird, but bottom line is, we've got to show people who God is. And we can't do that unless we've slaughtered our flesh that tries to rise up. I'm going to go. I'm spending too much time on this. Okay, so listen here. One thing is, at times it's appropriate to build in places of promise. These are little bullets I wrote here, so I want to make sure I get them out here. In places of promise as a sign of agreement. So I just talked about Abram in this scripture here. God spoke something to Abram. Abram heard it. He knew what God called him to do. And even though he knows it's going to be difficult, he did a sign of agreement and said, I'm building an altar to you, Lord. I'm coming and I'm communing with you. Interaction between man and God. And you're having that time where you lay yourself and you sacrifice yourself. Abram probably didn't want to have to deal with that, but he's in agreement. He's saying yes. At times, it is proper to build in a place to recommit, a place of recommitment to things God has spoken before. Now, I didn't pull up this scripture, but a couple chapters over, I think it's in chapter 13. This is after Abram tries to tell Sarah, look, don't tell them you're my wife. You're my sister. Okay? And then he got in trouble. The king's like, man, you got me all jacked up. You'll have to read that. But after that event, and that was in a different place, he took his wife and he went back to where he originally set up the altar. And he sacrificed there again. He went back to the same altar that he had just, in the same scripture, had set up. And I believe at times there's things God has spoken to us that we've considered years ago, and we've made a commitment to God, and we laid ourselves flat on that and said, God, I surrender it. But over time, we've picked that thing back up off the altar, and we've gone on our merry way. And then God has to get with us and slap us around and work with us. I don't know how he works with you, but sometimes God says, hey, wake up. I've got stuff for you. And I've got to return to that thing and say, I told you I was giving this to you. I once again give it to you, Father God, not for me to pick up again. So your altar may look like that. It may be a recommitment. You must be willing to build in various environments. And let me tell you something. I know you know this. It is possible to build an altar and not have an encounter with God. So I'm saying this kind of like build an altar with the assumption that you're also going to do the next steps. Not just build something and then got that covered. And we live in a society now so much that, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it's just, I've got friends who I've learned not to assume anything, because sometimes when people tell me they're Christian, I kind of assume they're my type of Christian. You know, like they're cool with the full gospel. You know, I mean, I know it's naive. But I have to remember, just because they said they're Christian, you can't start telling them about how God spoke to you or about how you heard somebody get or saw somebody get healed. It's like, wait a minute. Sometimes you got people out there who say they're Christian and they're just check the box Christians. I know it's good to go to church on Sunday. All right. Check. Did it. I checked that box. Amen. But we can't be that. Not if we're going to win in this battle. Not if we're going to, listen, right now we've got people who said they're Christian, said they love the Lord, and they are fornicating, messing with children who are not of age, condoning mess that their family, hiding children who've raped. I mean, I don't mean to make this sound bad, but I asked God, I said, how can all these people do this and say they're yours? And he just told me, just because they build an altar or go to the altar doesn't mean they sacrifice themselves. We got to have a true encounter with God. That means we got to go all the way through. Number two, you must be willing to offer your most precious to God. Be willing to offer your most precious to God. In Genesis 22, 1 through 2, darn it, I should have took the lock off this phone. Have to punch in my password every time. One moment here. Okay, 22, 1 through 2. And here, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And I know you guys know the scripture and over, but there's something God really pointed out to me that I want to emphasize. So verse 2, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now, I thought this was kind of, while I was reading this, he emphasized it for me. Now, let me tell you, if I was to say it to Seth this way, I think it's kind of cruel the way God did this, but I knew God had another motive. Seth, yeah, Dad, I want you to go up to your room. I want you to get that brand new phone I just bought you, the one where I spared and didn't hold back on any of the features, the one you love to play every day. I want you to go to your room and get that phone. And I want you to bring it down here to me. You know the one you said you just love playing with all the time? And you just think you're cute because all the girls think it's the great phone? I want you to go and get it for me because I'm going to have you sacrifice it. Now, what I'm saying is I've heard this over and over. But as I listen to this, I start to hear God's heart. He never had an intention for him to sacrifice that. Sacrifice his son. First off, you cannot sacrifice for anybody else. My sacrifice needs to be of my possession. And I can't say, Lord, I make an offering to you. Come on over here, Pastor Rob. You're my offering. No, that's not how it works. He does his own offerings. He's to be his own sacrifice. I'm to be my own sacrifice. But God, even in the way he emphasized how much Abram loved the son you loved, take the son you love, the one I promised to you. You know, that good looking one. It was like he was building up on the front end. The one you love so much, the one you desire, the one that's most precious to you. I want you to get that thing. And I want it. Right? We must be willing to give up that which is most precious to us. What does that look like? Now, I hinted at this before. Some of us might like the fact that we get to say, I'm a doctor. I got my PhD, I got my doctorate degree, or whatever it is. Some of you might like being able to say, you know, I play the piano everywhere I go. I've never been a part of a church where I didn't play the piano. Surely here, I will be playing the piano. It could be your talents. Whatever that thing is, you've got to be ready to give it over to God. Right? Look here in 22, verse 9. Genesis 22, verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now listen, the truth of the matter is, he was willing to do whatever it is God told him to do. He had surrendered. He said, God, yes, it's my most precious thing. It's the thing I love most. Yes, I will surrender it to you. He did all the actions. He was going to go through with it even. And God saw his movements. Listen, If you say you believe something, but nobody can see evidence based on your behavior, it's empty. And that's what's up with the world right now. They're laughing at us as churches because our belief system is empty. Not really. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying based on how we show ourselves to them, it's like, do you really believe it or not? And so here you got Abram, and God's telling me to do it. He says, yes, you're my Lord. I'll do whatever you have for me to do. I'm going to do it. And he goes through. He binds his son up. He's got the wood. He told his servants to hang out. He went to the mountain that God told him to. He was all ready to go through it. And he didn't understand why. But he knew God told him to do it. So let me ask you. You've been dating this girl. She seems to be the right one. You think she's perfect. Spent 2 years dating. This is the one we're going to do. And God says, and you know what? You feel tilt. There's something in you. You feel tilt. You've been running over that speed bump for the 2 years saying, doesn't feel right. There's something not right. There's something off. Oh, but she's so gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's smart. Come from a good family. Got a lot of money, whatever it is. And God says, I don't want you with her. Lord, I build an altar. But I'm not hearing that, God. There I lay. God, stop telling me that. I'm not slaughtering that. I'm not giving up that most precious thing. Some of you hold on to your children like this. Then wonder why the moment they're free, they run the heck crazy. They manifest the things that you do, and then you are trying to work it out of them, but you haven't worked it out of you. And trust me, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me. There's things God said. He reminds me, and he says, you trying to kick that out of your son? Yes, sir. Said, have you kicked it out of you? Ooh. All right. I'll work on that. Tell you what, on the altar, it's not fun. It's not fun on the altar. You got to be strong and courageous to get on the altar. Okay, I'm spending too much time in this. So listen, I won't go into this, but another scripture to look at is Genesis 8:20. I know you know these are no new scriptures. You probably read them over and over, but this is a situation where it's talking about Noah had built an altar. And after, now understand, this was after he got through the flood and everything is cool now. They can come out. He talked about taking clean animals and offered them to God. Do not give God your mess. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. He wants you to surrender yourself to him. The things you hold precious. Noah didn't take something dirty to offer to God. And I'm going to tell you, at Children's Services, my facility staff, they'll come to me, and we stopped actually accepting soft goods. Part of it was because of bed bugs, but also because of people would bring us stuff that was ripped up, stuff they really just didn't want to take to the dump. And so it was like, man, they brought us stuff that they didn't want to sit on themselves. And we just, it's like, that's not cool. Give him your best. Give him the best you have. If you, whatever your talents are, give those things to him. So listen, a couple bullets I want to talk about when I'm talking about offering your most precious. First and foremost, it's yourself, and it could be your reputation. These are just things that it could be. Listen, there's times that God will have you not defend yourself because he has a higher purpose. You'll know good and well somebody's making accusations about you in the city, in your community, or at your church, or wherever. You know, at work, they're making accusations about you, and you know good and well they're not true. And you'll want to go and fight and defend your honor, defend your reputation. And God will say, don't. And we'll think, what? I'm not taking this. I heard what she called me. She's telling everybody. Sometimes that's your sacrifice, is allowing God to have his way. Because trust me, when God says don't, he hasn't forgotten about defending you. He's beautiful the way he sets up things. See, listen, God has a longer game than we do. We've got a short game. God's got a long game. It's a beautiful long game. So while you're trying to fix things on the short run, and you're going, I'm going to defend myself. No, sit still, trust God, and watch what he does. He works it out beautifully. Now, I'm not saying that's everyone's situation. Maybe your situation is your talents or gifts, as I just mentioned. And what I mean by that is there's people right now won't use their giftings in the house, but they use them out in the world. Now, I will tell you, I don't have a problem with people using their musical giftings in the world, as long as it still is aligned with, it's nothing that would be contrary to what God's message would be, you know? And that doesn't mean you have to say God every time in the song. There's songs I do out when I'm doing concerts, and it has nothing, it doesn't say anything about God in it. But it's a godly principle, you know? It'll be talking about doing good, but that's okay. But I also believe that talent is supposed to be first used in the house of God and in the service of God, not just in the house, but in the service of God. And sometimes you've got to surrender your gift and your talent to God. Now, that could also be the fact that you might feel like you're wasting your time in an occupation that is outside of you, that's lower than you. And God can say, listen, did you ask me what I wanted you to do? Yes, Lord, I did. Well, this is where I've set you. Am I putting food on your table? Yes, sir. Does that mean you get to do less work or a less quality job because it doesn't pay $80 an hour? No. So stop running your mouth. Be the sacrifice I want you to be. Build an altar unto me and meet me there. Praise me for it. And you'll find out I'll start to speak to you things, and I'll start to make favor for you, and I'll create areas where you'll be able to move forward. I can't tell you how many positions, jobs I've had where I thought, man, how does this align with my, not music ministry, but ministry in any way, shape, or form? I'm selling cars. And I did so much ministry as a car salesman. I have people right now who still call me and know we could call Otis. He'll talk to our kids. I would counsel their kids. I would pray for them when they were going to surgery. They called me before they go to surgery. And here I am. I thought I was there to sell cars. I wasn't. You got to surrender whatever it is you think and you hold dear. You also need to surrender your family. Now, understand, while I said you can't, I can't make an offering and say, God, I'm offering Pastor Rob. I can't say, God, I'm putting Ivy on the altar. No. You can't put Ivy on the altar. What you can do is put your desire regarding Ivy or your perspective regarding Ivy on the altar, which means, God, no longer do I want her to be what I think is right. Lord, help me to see and to deal with things the way I need to. Help me to have words that will speak into her and cause her to be all that she is supposed to be. Help me to see her goals and dreams realized. Help me to think about that. I hope this is doing something for you guys. Because at the core of everything, opioid use, domestic violence, terrorist acts, going and shooting up a church, I mean, you name it. Road rage, here you just went out for bread, got kids back at home, and you couldn't control yourself, so you had to go and tell somebody off because they sped past you and looked at you wrong, and now you're dead. And your children are fatherless. At the core of it is the fact that no one put themselves on the altar enough to get rid of that flesh, that desire, that right that we think we have, to be heard, to be respected, and doggone it, you disrespected me, so I'm just going to go out there. I think you're wrong, and I'm going to go out there. I'm mad because she left me. Whatever it is, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to shoot up the place. Not truly understanding there is an eternal place you will live. And you thought it was okay to have somebody take you out just so you can avoid this life. You still are going to live somewhere. It's true. People passing by you every day. I heard a man talking about opioid use, and his main focus was that how we deal with... I know, I can't keep going. I got to get off of here. But listen, we got to be tougher. We got to sacrifice. We got to go through more. People who get caught up on drugs, some drugs, and trust me, I don't have all the answers, but our pain tolerance is what this guy was talking about. And what used to be, we could endure this. No, it's changed. And so now it's, I don't want to feel any pain at all. I don't want any pain. Who promised you no pain? That's what I mean. We got comfortable seats in here. We got AC. Let it be off. If I hear it's off and wait, we have no electricity, we can't do worship. Yeah, we can. We just don't get to play the instruments. Maybe we'll be out there. Okay. A couple more points that I cannot get into. But here's another point I want to just share with you. If you're truly going to build an altar right and be successful in your relationship as far as with God, you must be willing to remove altars you erected to false gods. And you can look in Chronicles 14:1-6. It talks about King Asa, who had, his father was an evil king, but one of the things he did when he came in control, he tore down those altars. You've got to tear down those altars you put up. There's some people you've put on pedestals in your life. There's some things you've sacrificed just so you could be a part of a group. There's things you tolerate knowing good and well it's wrong, but you tolerate it so you don't have to have a difficult time. There's things you don't tell your children because you know good and well it was caused your relationship to be bumpy, but you don't tell them because it's smooth. And doesn't seem to be any turmoil. Now, trust me, I refuse to be that. My kids, I already have it in my mind. They are not going to be my friends. And if I can make them all they're supposed to be and they be mad at me, great. They can thank me later. I'm serious. But serious. So whatever it is, survey yourself. Do some assessments and say, what have I erected up in the place of what God wanted me to do? I think in 1 Samuel, I think it's 6 or 7, it talks about Dagon. Dagon was a fish god, and they kept putting up Dagon. Go and read that. I don't have time to get into it. But every time they put this, they had taken the Ark of the Covenant. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant into their land, and they would put this ark, the Ark of the Covenant, before Dagon, their god. And that ark would bust it up. They put him back up the next day, and then they come back and find out he was busted up even more. The palms were knocked off. Go and read that. Whatever it is that you've allowed to be up, God is a jealous God. And you'll wonder why things aren't working out. God's not going to let it work out if you erect gods before him. If you put things up before him. So tear down those altars. Number 4. You must be willing to respond when he instructs you to do so. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, I just use this as an example. When you have an encounter with God and you lay yourself bare, and you say, God, consume me. I know what I'm saying I'm going to do here. I know I'm putting myself out on the line here. I know I'm putting it to a place that if you call me on it, boy, I really said I was going to do it, so now I'm going to go through it. Once you do all that and he starts speaking to you, you're going to be this. Don't say no. Don't say I'm not of good speech. I'm from this house. I'm from Bookdale. I'm from Chansey. I'm from Meigs County. I'm whatever it is. Nobody does that. I go to this school. Whatever. When God starts speaking to you, just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to do it. But in this scripture here in Luke 5, without going into it, I'll just tell you the quick story. Here you got the disciples. Well, they're not disciples yet, but they're fishermen. And Simon, and they've already been fishing all day long. You know this, most of you probably know the story. They have been fishing all day long. But if you really look at this, Jesus used their boats to preach from. And when he was done, I could just see him kind of chilling, you know, like, well, that was a good message. It says when he was done speaking that he said, hey, cast out deeper. Cast out a deeper, and let's let down your nets. And Simon said, hey, we've been out here all this time. We've already done the work. We've already tried to do it. In the very spot, we don't have nothing. And you're telling us to cast out our nets. Oh, man. I'll entertain you. Jesus, he doesn't say that, but that's really what he did. He says, nevertheless, I will cast out my net. Singular. Singular. God says, cast out your nets, and he says, I'll put out my net. And sure enough, he didn't expect it, but he was a professional fisher. They had such a harvest that their boats couldn't handle it, that their net couldn't bear it. He had to call over some help. See, listen, if we really knew how much God is trying to get to us, if we would just be obedient, just do it as he tells you to. Because if he had cast out his nets, they would have been able to handle it. But they went and they weren't even fully obedient. They cast out a net, and then their boat started sinking because they're trying to recover. God doesn't want you on the reaction. He doesn't want you to be reactionary. He just wants you to be obedient. And when you're obedient to him, all the preparation was done by God. So here's all I'm trying to say to you is, as you go in and you sacrifice yourself, I've told you some of what that looks like. You know, some of the practical situations, you don't have the answers. And you're like, I'm not going to just come up with the answer, God. I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to kill that part of me that thinks I know everything, because I really don't know everything. Now just speak to me. And he starts speaking to you, follow all that he tells you. And do it without your filter. The filter is the thing the enemy has given you, where he has trained you, he has formatted you like a disc. And he said, remember that failure, remember this failure, remember you can do this, but you can't do that. Remember last time you tried to date a girl and you just, maybe women aren't for you. Maybe... He's sneaky. He is sneaky. So he starts to tell you things. Every time I have an encounter with Lisa, every time I have an encounter with Barb, it's negative. It's a terrible thing. So the minute I start having another talk with you, I'm not going in listening with fresh ears. I'm going in listening with ears. Okay, here we go. Brace. Every time I talk to her. And now I listen with a filter and it fixes how I'm going to receive you. And that's what the enemy is doing to us. We've got to die on the altar. Amen? Pastor.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.